Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Tasty Grant, and we have an exciting, very exciting show today. We're getting you in the holiday spirit, and we have our return guest, who is a chef, and she is going to give us some pointers on trying to bring the children in to that kitchen. So she calls it Kids in the Kitchen. So we're going to talk with her today. Her name is Carolyn Shelton, and we are going to get some pointers from her on some good recipes for the holidays and how we can make this a fun event when we get everyone is in the kitchen. So good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Good. I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Oh, I listen, I'm having a blast. I'm playing my music. Luther has been serenading me all morning. And I'm putting up my Christmas cards, so I am really enjoying this because after next week, it'll be all over.
I know it. I absolutely know it. Yeah, but here in New Orleans, fortunately or unfortunately for some, there is a festivity happening every week. There is the Boudin Festival, the this festival, the that festival, the Mardi Gras, the St. Joseph Parade, the jambalaya. It's just you become overwhelmed. So there's always a festive activity going on here in New Orleans. It's like no other city in the world.
I know it. I love New Orleans. And I wonder what the average, you know, they always start these programs off, how to not gain weight. And I know the people in New Orleans don't listen to those programs, do they?
Carol, please, when people come here, they already know. They are not looking for no gluten gumbo. I said the nerve. I wish they would come talk about a vegan gumbo or a gluten gumbo. I have to send them back home. Go and make it at your own house. Cause they have people that are doing that. But when people come here, they want traditional, down home meals that most of us grew up on. And exactly. there are a lot of chefs that come through here, and they put another twist on this and a twist on that. For instance, there's a Korean girl. She's got a Korean soul recipe for something. But after all is said and done, the first question a tourist will ask you, "Where's the best gumbo? Where's the best gumbo?"
Yes.
And you want to say, "Well, you have to come to my house." That's what the average person will say. But the food here is still phenomenal and wonderful and great, and we have wonderful restaurants here, absolutely.
Well, my sister and I flew there during the summer. Maybe it was like August. It was just before she went back to school. And we flew in purposely to get these oysters. Now, neither one of us, we didn't think we were oyster people until we tasted these particular ones that were prepared on at some hotel. And I
Drago.
My mouth is
it was
warm.
At Drago. It was at Drago.
Oh, yes.
Drago's.
Yes.
Yep, Drago's. In fact, it was in the hotel in the Hilton. A lot of conventions are there, right by Harris Casino, right by Riverwalk. Yeah, they have excellent, excellent oysters, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So, I'm ready for a fix. And now that we have gotten back together and reconnected, because for my audience, Carolyn was a flight attendant also. For what airlines was it? United? What airline did you fly for?
Continental Airlines.
I'm so sorry. I insulted you. I am so sorry.
No, you didn't insult me at all. No, not at all. No. You didn't insult me.
No,
not an
wrong airline. No, it is an insult when you don't get your right airline that you dedicated your life to. So we have to get that right. And so from that, so just a little introduction, a little bit more of an introduction to the audience about you is that, yes, you were a flight attendant for many years. And then from that, you've gone on and become an entrepreneur. So why don't you just give my audience a little bit of history about you, and then we're going to get into your kids in the kitchen, which I love that phrase. I think that's wonderful.
Well, thank
you. Tell my audience a little bit about you and your etiquette program and so forth. So now go to it.
Well, let me say that, yes, the airlines, I was with Continental Airlines for many years. I'm glad you didn't mention how many years because people start trying to calculate my age, which, of course, it fluctuates from year to year. I never let people know my age. So sometimes I'm this age, sometimes I'm that age. But if I tell them how long I've been flying and doing things, they have a calculator in their head. They can calculate. you're that old? You don't look it. Oh, really? Okay. But I will say that, yes, I flew for many, many years. However, I didn't start becoming an entrepreneur after flying. I had to realize this. I was an entrepreneur as a flight attendant, but more doing more philanthropic work in the neighborhood and dealing with inner city kids. And at that time, they were called inner city kids, or we were called inner city kids. We weren't called youth at risk. Those words weren't around. But what I did on my days off from flying, I went back to the neighborhood and taught etiquette. And I don't know why I felt compelled to teach that particular subject, but I felt that kids needed to know, to learn the basics, because I was asked, like I said before in the other interview, stupid questions about growing up black. I mean, and I won't go into all those stupid questions, but I said, so then when I would return to the neighborhood that I grew up in and my uncles were living in and my brothers were living in, different, I saw a need and I said, you know what, I'm going to teach these kids the basics. Excuse me, thank you, and please. So that when they walk into a downtown Houston, downtown L.A., Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive, Dubai, New Zealand, wherever, they will know that the basics are strong. Excuse me, thank you, and please. And that is a national language. When you're kind to people, when you know how to respect the culture, other people's culture. Because I remember when we would travel to different cities, the airlines would take us through a course on manners and how to conduct ourselves in different cultures, because all the cultures have different rules, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So but long story short, I basically taught the basics: how to walk, how to sit, how to set a table, how to cut your food properly, et cetera, et cetera. But this is while I was a flight attendant. There was no charge. I did this free of charge. But as a result of that, that's when all the stories came and the TV shows and the interviews with 60 Minutes and so forth and so on. And that's how all of that happened. It wasn't an entrepreneurial thing where I was trying to make money. It was just something that I saw a need. So long story short, I did receive several grants. I did receive a grant from the Kiewit Foundation in Omaha, Nebraska, and so forth. And I just never gave up on doing these classes. So fast forward now to 2000 and what year are we in? I can't think. 2015. I still have a program, and it's called Young, Gifted, and Classy. I have two parts: Young, Gifted, and Classy. Manners are relevant. Young, Gifted, and Classy. Kids in the kitchen. Why kids in the kitchen? Because everybody is geeked up about cooking. Kids are making cookies with mom, and they're making pies. And then even Patti LaBelle had somebody singing on TV about her, on YouTube, about her doing her sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie, yes.
That sweet potato pie is hitting. I mean, everybody's like, oh, my God, I remember my grandmother's sweet potato pie. It don't taste like my grandma. Yeah. So everybody have memories in the kitchen. And what better place to teach kids manners? So I had a TV show back in the day, and it was called Young, Gifted, and Classy, Kids in the Kitchen. Not only learning how to cook, but also learning manners. So how do you incorporate manners? You have the kids say, Mom, Dad, Sis, please pass me that spatula. You pass the spatula. Oh, thank you. So what does that do? It's a platform to sneak in those little tips on manners, and that's
exactly
what I'm still doing today.
Exactly. Well, not only that, and I think it's a good way to, a lot of times kids or children don't receive messages that we're trying to give them. And if you make it or you incorporate it into a fun thing, then they receive it, then they accept it, and before you know it, they're doing these different things. But when you really have to have sometimes a divided attention, they rebel. And I think that your program, and I think that your program is so important because there's so many things, well, the parents don't know. If the parents don't know certain things, how can you pass it on to your children?
That's exactly right. And that's another part of something that I'm doing at the library here. They've asked me to teach an etiquette class to the parents so the parents can take this information home. These are young parents and sort of embellish and tell and teach their kids, like you said, what they don't know. And really and truly, manners is really it's so simple. It's so not complicated. We're not talking about having lunch or high tea with the Queen or having high tea at the Ritz-Carlton or Windsor Court or whatever. Of course, we do that, but it's just the basics. And once you learn the basics and feel comfortable in your skin because you do know the basics, you can sit there and observe, put yourself in an environment where you can pick up on some of these things. Even if your parents can't afford to take you to a very nice restaurant, fine dining, expose yourself. When you get to an age and you have a job, once a month, take yourself to a nice restaurant. You know what? I'm going to treat myself. Watch, learn. And more importantly, especially young people today that have jobs and making a nice income, learn how to tip. A lot of adults don't even realize. I even had dates that have left poor tips. And then when I go back to that same restaurant, they go like, no, somebody else will take that table. No, I don't want that table. You know, they're fighting not to get the table. If you're a good tipper, they're fighting to get the table. So you don't want to have that fear. Like when we walk into a restaurant, say, oh, God, I know I ain't going to get no tip today. Tip 15, oh, no. You know, so those we have to dispel those myths about us, and I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is. But I want our kids to feel comfortable. Like I told kids when I worked in Cabrini Green, I don't care if you walk out of the 31st floor or 27th floor or on Cedric or whatever street. Nobody has to know you walked out of the housing project but you. You walk out with your head up. If you know how to carry yourself and you look back when you walk out, look back and say, you know what? This is temporary. I ain't gonna be having a homestead here. So when you go walk out and you get on Michigan Avenue and you have to walk into Bloomingdale, you have to walk into a fine restaurant. You know, you feel comfortable in your skin because you know who you are. You would be surprised, Casey. It is 2015. I am a professional black woman, and you are too, and many of your audiences out there. Do you know that stigma is still there on us? Unfortunately, it is real. It is real. So from time to time, I have to go into my. I don't go into to Sapphire. I don't go. I don't take her out. I always leave her at home. But I have to go in. If for instance, in an etiquette situation, if I have a bad situation, I'm not going to disturb my other friends or whatever. I will politely get up and I will go to the manager, the maitre d', the head hostess, or whatever, and say something very quietly and nicely. I'm not comfortable with my waiter. Can you please give us another waiter or another table? There's a way to do everything.
And you're so that is so right. You're right about everything you have said. And one of the things I want to make a comment to you said earlier about the tipping. And once again, it goes back to the basics of what you don't know. What you don't know. Now, what the restaurants have done to help us, which I think is a good thing, is that they put a suggested amount on there, so they help you calculate what you you should and what would be appropriate, and then you have to go back to the basics. Yeah, and we must go back to the basics of why you tip. You tip because it's a service, and you tip to reflect how you appreciated how that person was considerate, served you, you know, in an expedient way. So one of the things that I do, you know, nowadays. And I don't know, this is just a little tidbit to people, but this is what I do, especially if I'm organizing a lunch. And now they are more accustomed to splitting the bill, whatever your orders. But what I always do is I will go after everyone else has, you know, gotten up and heading to the front door or whatever. I'll go back and I'll get the waiter or the waitress. And I would say, thank you so much because I know it was very difficult for you to split those bills with 32 people, however large.
Oh, and a lot of restaurants are starting not to do it. Ooh, they get upset. They tell you, I'm not to cut you off, but I was at a restaurant recently, and I heard the waiter say to, I heard they won't do it. Some restaurants won't do it. It's just too tedious. Like you say, 32 different bills?
Well, some of them, it has been that. We will, ask that before I do. I always ask before I go. And what they do is, and you prepare them ahead of time. And it's just a matter of how they take the order. So they're getting a system. And then, to me, the extra reward is that they don't expect to get an extra $10. But I always make it, if I'm in charge of it, I always go back and find them and give them additional just because of their effort. But in Chicago... In Chicago, I'll say, I have not had a problem, and they welcome. They go, oh, no problem. And so they have a system. They have, I think, just come up and created a system that's easier for them because more people are saying, please give us separate checks. Because when I go out, a lot of people drink more than I do. And so it's not fair.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're so right. Yeah, that does become an issue. You know, now that I sit here and think about it, because you're right. Because like
exactly.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And so, so there's always a way, but the main thing is that everyone is making a living, and you're coming up for a exciting experience. And so those two things should go together. I appreciate you coming to work to give me good service, and all of us want to sit here and be served. So I think that your program is just, do you ever take the kids out to restaurants?
Are you kidding me, girl? I've been doing that for, oh my God, since my days in Houston and even in Chicago. Yes, oh my God, yes. I would always approach a friend that has a nice restaurant, and I've been doing that since, God, the 80s, always taking them to nice restaurants. And I've been very, very lucky that a lot of restaurateurs have embraced what I was trying to do. And right there in Chicago, Larry Levy, who owns Mrs. Levy's, well, he's owned all the Levy restaurants, he and his brother. But every Christmas I would have a Christmas party, and I would have Larry Levy would let me bring the kids to Mrs. Levy's deli, his mom's deli, and I think it's the Water Tower, not the Water Tower, I forgot where it was. But anyway, I would bring a bunch of kids, sometimes 30 and 40 kids. He would host a nice Christmas party. So I would definitely take them out of their environment. I remember taking them to the Ritz-Carlton and to the Water Tower. It was so amazing one day. I took about 20 kids, 15 to 20 kids, and it was so funny. We walked in the Water Tower, and I watched these security people going, they're now on the third floor. Yes, they're now moving towards. I'm like, what the heck? They were following. Oh. It was the fun. But these kids, they stood out like a sore thumb. They stood out like a sore thumb, and I didn't care. And then I remember, just like it was yesterday, we're standing in the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton, and I was showing the kids. I remember one of the kids said to me, he was about 16 years old, hey, Miss Sheldon, where people sleep in this joint? Where they sleep? Because I know it was a hotel. They had never eaten. They would live right around the corner from Michigan Avenue in Cabrini Green. Had never been inside of the Water Tower. It was just amazing. He said, where do people sleep? And so I had, it was just so, you just don't know, my heart just tightened up, and so I had to tell it. And then I would show them the different jobs, the bellman, the concierge, the front desk, the housekeepers, the agents, and the different levels. And I said, when you guys are ready for a job, I said, this is where you would come, and this is what you would apply for. But we have so much work to do. And here it is, 2015, and it's needed more than when I was doing it 100 years ago. I mean, not 100 years ago. That's like 15 years ago.
Well, no. She's not 100, everybody. No, she looks too good to even fake that. Well, I think that all that you have said, it is something that we all have to be aware of. And so now let's get to the kids in the kitchen then. So tell me some of your special recipes. Tell the audience some of your recipes. And even for those, the novice chefs or the cooks, give us some hints as to how to make things easier and some of the do's and don'ts when you're following recipes, because,
well,
you know,
the easiest recipes, is, of course, are desserts and recipes that you can make with Cheerios and Checkmate. I mean, what do you call it? I make cupcakes. I have a little program called Young Gifts and Classic Cupcakes and Manners. Just make a basic cupcake and then you use that time to decorate the cupcake in different ways. Each kid gets a cupcake and we decorate it in the kitchen with a different icing, with a different face or whatever. It could be for Halloween, it could be for Christmas, it could be for birthdays. But it gives you, the most important thing is not so much the recipe, it's the recipe for how to behave. It's the recipe of connecting and talking with your kid, because what happens when that child becomes an adult later in life, you want them to have that memory. You know, I remember when my mom and I used to make cupcakes when I was a kid, but today a lot of kids don't have that reference to doing anything with mom, grand. Because mom and dad, they're working 5 or 6 jobs, unless they're very wealthy or whatever. So it really and truly, it doesn't take a lot of money. It just takes just allocating one day a month or one day a week or whatever, spending time in the kitchen, even if it's doing a cereal, anything, but use that opportunity to connect, to talk, to talk with your child, because there is a disconnect. There is a disconnect. And so that's what I try to get parents to do, spend more time, maybe just making some cookies, just get some cookies from the grocery store, the Toll House cookies or whatever. And the case, and it's not so much the cookie, but it's the time you spend with that kid, talking and showing them maybe how to put some little chocolate chips on the cookie and how to decorate, and using that time to give them some lessons. Now, this is what I tell people about working with young adults or young kids. You never ever know. You plant a seed, you give some advice. Nobody, I don't care, no program, no 501c3 that says we work with youth at risk, nobody can say when that child is going to use that information. It could be the next day, it could be the next week, it could be 10 years down the line. It could be them reflecting one day and say, you know what, it'll come to them at some point. You don't know. I just worked at a school here in New Orleans. It's an alternative school, and these are troubled kids. And I remember this one little kid was acting out, and they had to physically take him out, and he had to go to a corner. And I remember the kid looked up at the counselor and said, she said, "What is wrong with you, Jason?" He said, "I'm having a meltdown." I said, "What?" To myself. He said, "What?" To myself. Yeah. I'm looking at the little kid like, now how in the world does a kid, counselor should know that word. A kid should not know he's having a meltdown. But see, they're so accustomed to all of this psychological stuff that they're doing to these kids. These kids are just out the box. Television is raising them. The internet is raising them. Rap songs are raising them. We have to intervene. Even if it's a sister, if it's a mom, if it's an aunt, we have to care. We have to do something, because it's completely out of control. But when that little kid said meltdown, I went, no, he didn't.
He would
have never had a meltdown in my mama's house. Angelina, he would have had a meltdown already after she took that, whatever. I ain't gonna say that anyway.
I totally agree. And getting back to one of the things that you just said is just cooking in the kitchen with your parents. If they are, you're creating memories. Because I remember around this time, my mother, as everyone thinks their mother is the best cook in the world, but mother's preparation. Now, I did do as she wanted me to do, but it was the special knife to do certain things. So all of these different things that I learned, and I'm sure that you know because of your professionalism, is that there's certain knives to do certain things. There's certain preparation time to do certain things. And not only are you learning how to do that, and all the different things that this one outing, as we'll call it an outing or an event, what it brings in, because it gives you discipline. Because you can't cook in the kitchen and not be disciplined to follow a recipe.
That's right. That's right. And you know, when you as you're talking, I'm thinking about that movie with Madea, one of them movies, where Cecily Tyson said, just think about family reunions. Don't you know that all those kids are on their best behavior? There's going to always be some little drama going on. But there's always a Cecily Tyson type sitting on that porch reflecting. And everybody's bringing a meal. You know, family reunion. And that family reunion, manners is in place. Whether you're eating watermelon or barbecue, those kids have to mind their manners. You and I have to mind our manners.
Yes. Yes, you do. You do. You really do. And also another part of the cooking and bringing the kids in the kitchen and all the etiquette that you're teaching them, it's also teamwork. Because after you've done all this preparation, you have to be able to clean up and put these things away. And so I understand the value of you saying how this outing or this event of cooking is something that is, and it's for the men too. It's for the young boys.
That's
it's
right.
not just girls.
That's
How is this received? Do the young boys enjoy this program, your program?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You know, because like you said, what I try to do is give them a reward. So what I've done to entice them, because, I mean, let's face it, these kids are going, I ain't going to no etiquette class, Mama. But see, what I do, I make it fun and I make it competitive. So I had this program, Youngest in Class of Kids in the Kitchen, and we would do cupcakes and manners. So everybody would decorate a cupcake. So we would give the best cupcake gets maybe 100, the next cupcake gets 50, the next cup, or maybe, it doesn't have to be in those increments, but you reward them. And that's where I find that I unfortunately have to dangle that dollar in front of them. Just like the school I did the other day, I had to dangle a dollar. I said, if somebody can answer one question, everybody want to raise their hand. You know, this is a dollar question. This is a dollar question. And then they go, huh? You know, and you get them excited. So you have to kind of tease them with something because sometimes they, you know, they go like, but it's so funny. One teacher said to me, you know, Miss Shelton, if you just reach one of these 45 kids, we will just be so happy. I said, no, ma'am, Miss Schwartz, no, ma'am. I said, I'm not going to reach just one. I said, I'm going to reach all but one. I said, if there's 49, I'm going to reach 48. That's how confident I am. And do you know that after that class, the one kid that gave me the worst time, when all the kids were walking out, he pulled me off to the side and thanked me away from everybody. He didn't want anybody to know because he was a class clown. I had to keep correcting him. Then he stayed and helped me put my dishes back in my little containers.
Oh.
It was amazing. And I have to share this last story. And then I asked some of the kids, I said, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I see something that says, breaking news, you know, 5 black youths killed, this, that, that. I said, I want us to change the breaking news to breaking news. And I bring them up and I say, what is the breaking news about you? I just signed a basketball contract for $50 million. And each one of them had a breaking news story, a positive breaking news story. So this one kid, and I'm not going to say it correctly, he said, the trouble kid that gave me a hard time that day, I said, what's the breaking news on you? I'm going to be a parentologist or something. I said, what? I didn't even know what that was. I am not going to lie to you. I said, what? He said, a person that studies fossils. Now, if you saw this kid, you would think he was some kind of gangbanger. But I was in shock. Oh, my God. He just blew me away. So I'm staying in contact with him. And between you and I and your audience out there, I'm going to find a person that studies fossils. And I am going to bring him to that school so I can show them. He will meet a person. He will. He will meet that person. So it's you know what I'm saying? I know I reach him. That's all I can tell you. In the kitchen, in the streets, in the hood, don't matter.
Well, I think your energy, first of all, is so infectious that it couldn't be anything else but a positive impact on them. So that's number one. And then number two, I think that getting back to the school system, I remember, and this is how I learned to cook the few things I know how to cook, but home ec, that was the time. Yeah, and that was in the school. So at that point, if your parents didn't know how to cook, at least you had a formal introduction to reading a recipe and creating something. And it was really funny because the thing that I, my favorite thing, and my father was so good, he would always ask as if he didn't know when I would tell him I was I had cooked for the day. And he would always go, oh, baby, that's great. What did you cook? And it would be the same thing, noodle goulash and apple crisp pie. It was the same thing. But every time I told him, he acted as though I had done something, and I would just beam, and I was so excited, and the daddy said, ooh, baby, that sounds good. And he would eat it, and it was a good recipe. It was a very simple recipe, but it was I would do it all by myself. And your mother would come in and supervise every once in a while. But that was such a great – all of this stuff helps you to build self-esteem.
Yes, 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 indeed. Yes, indeed.
And, yeah. So we have to springboard from any way that we possibly can to do these things, cooking, and then the rest of the one semester was cooking and the next semester was sewing.
Was
remember
sewing.
That?
Oh, my God. I almost flunked. Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do I remember sewing? I hated it. And this, my mom had to go to school. This one instructor, Miss Prady, I'll never forget her. She was going to fail me because I didn't make a skirt or a dress or something I was supposed to make. I just did not like sewing. I didn't like it. I didn't like sewing. That was so weird. That, yeah. And then to talk about home ec, I remember, I can't remember the lady's name that taught me home ec, but we would have all these fancy schmancy recipes, and I'd come home and I'd say, Mother, I need this. I'd name all these ingredients. I said, what? Girl, you know we poor girl. I ain't got time. I don't have no money to buy all this stuff. So once in a while, she would just, you know, she would acquiesce and say, okay. So she'd take me to the store. And by the time I created this dish, it would just be enough for two kids. Now, how do you make for two people? But Mother had nine kids.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just so good. I just went, my mother, she had some stories about me. And I just, you know, it's just, I just, she just tickled me because she's the one that told me who I was. Because she called me Miss Ann. She said, listen, Miss Ann. I said, Mother, why are you calling Miss Ann? She said, because you act like Miss Ann. She said, we are poor. I said, oh, Mother, please don't use that word, Mother. Please, she said, Carol Ann.
I have to laugh.
Those are my memories of my mother was so real, it's not even funny. My mother never met a stranger. The smile she had for my bougie friends, she had the same smile for the homeless. So it didn't matter. She didn't matter whether you came out of a castle or whether you came from, she was the same with everybody. And I thank her for that. I thank her giving me that spirit.
Let me get back to some of your program here because of the audience that is listening, if they would want to book you or find out more information about your kids in the kitchen, and tell me, do you have, like, this is the Christmas time, so is there anything special or any type of recipes? What is the main thing the kids are asking you about, or is there a particular one? Is it pastries, or is it baking, or what
it's
is the
baking.
Main interest?
It's the Christmas cookies, it's the dessert. And then, of course, you know, considering that I'm here in Louisiana, everybody is gearing up for meals that the parents are putting together at Christmas time, the second line meals, the gumbos, the etouffees, all of that stuff. That's what the people, and this, it depends on the area, but overall I think kids are looking at the desserts and, you know, and going to the Christmas parades, but they're looking at the desserts, the punches and stuff like that. That's really what they want. And to be honest with you, many of them are not going to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. It's really not, that's not going to happen. Maybe some of the young girls will be, but not the little boys. So it's really the desserts, you know, and that's a no-brainer there. I mean, there's so many different things you can buy a plain pound cake and decorate it, or you can make a gingerbread house. I remember one year I showed some kids how to make a gingerbread house. A friend of mine owned a bakery in Lafayette, and so we showed them how to make a gingerbread house. So you just have to kind of poison and, you know, figure those kids out and see what makes them tick. And some of them might not even want to be in the kitchen. They might want to go to the aquarium. So there's just different things that they might want to be interested in. But it doesn't have to just be Christmas in the kitchen. It could be any time. Anytime you have an opportunity to get your kids in that kitchen. It could be after school, making a quick meal, some macaroni and cheese, maybe with some ground meat in it, and maybe eating some wheat bread, or showing them how to make a quick soup and tweaking the soup. You know, it's just whatever you have, you can start a meal that's already started, and you just finish it off with your little touch. You know, so there's a lot of things. There's just no excuse not to spend time with your kids if you're trying to get a message to them. If you want to talk to young lady, your daughter, about being a lady and respect and having young guys respect them. You know, you use that time to throw in all those lessons that they're not gonna want to talk about when they're coming from school. Geneva, I need to talk to you. Oh God, what is it now, Mom? Find an activity in the kitchen. That's the time you zap them. And if you notice, what's that show called? What is that show with Tom Selleck? It's a cop show that comes on.
Blue cops.
There is, if you notice, every show. The most important message in that show, even after they arrested the bad guy, maybe one of the brothers got shot, dad's in the hospital with a heart, it does not matter. Everything ends up at that kitchen table. That is so key, something you just don't see a lot of. The adults are having a glass of wine. The kids are asking questions about this, that, and the other. Why did Danny do this? That is the time, and that's what we need to reflect on, those times. Every opportunity. But there's a message. There's a message.
There is a message, and I'm glad you said that. But let me make a comment on one of the things that you said about the gingerbread. That's one of the traditions that we created. My mother would always be the judge, and my sister would have one of the kids. I would have one of the kids, and we would decorate a gingerbread house. And so it was a competition. Now, being as diplomatic as my mother was, no one was a winner. We were both always winners. So she would go, okay, I think that the winner is, and she would always pick both houses. But that is a competition and a tradition that we have in my family, is decorating a gingerbread house. And then the other thing I wanted to comment on that you said is the family, that it's sitting down at the table saying grace. And this is the holiday season, and so we can't forget the reason for the season. And the reason that I love that program for just what you just said, because it is about sitting down. All the differences are, at that point, put aside, and you are, and the bills look healthy, and they're warming. Mm-hmm. But you also have to remember, what's the best saying in the world? We always know, as a woman, the way to a man's heart is to do what?
Through his stomach.
Yes. So if you don't take these lessons and some tips from you, now, do you have any, how do people get in contact, and how do you construct your programs when the schools ask you to come in, since your program is young, gifted, and classy, and then it's about
I have a website. Okay. But let me go back real quick. You see what this conversation did? See, it brought up your memory of that gingerbread house. Now, see, I don't have that memory. You see what I'm saying? And so you just shared that with an audience. And somebody out there listening, they have that memory. See, I don't have that memory. I have that memory of sweet dough pies from being from Louisiana. Then my sister's, my memory, hers is my grandmother's pound cake. It's really interesting how you came back with that, because we never made a gingerbread house, ever. In fact, I don't even think I even had a gingerbread house until I was an adult. And start teaching. But I'm glad you shared that. I'm really glad. But I do have a website. It's called younggiftedclassy.com, and people find me some kind of way. I don't know. I people find me from Lafayette to Houston to you name it. And I'm trying to finish. It's a small little book, little etiquette book, but it's an easy read. It's not complicated. It's not thick. And it's just got some easy tips in there. And if they can actually go to the website, or either email me at angelinagumbo337@AOL. Angelina is my late mother's name. Angelina, A-N-G-E-L-I-N-A. And then gumbo, okay, of course, is our national soup. And that's why I say Angelina Gumbo, G-U-M-B-O. And then my area code, of course, from Lafayette is 337. So Angelina Gumbo, 337 at AOL.com. But anyway, yeah, but I am putting together, and hopefully, I hate to even put it out there, but we're talking about putting together even a little CD that people will be able to purchase, or DVD, I should say, a little DVD. So we're working on some things. It just takes l'argent, as we say here in Louisiana. It takes money. Which I don't know what it looks like. Yeah. I tell people to email it or fax it to me so I can see what it looks like. But we're actively doing some stuff. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you a restaurant that also hosted us once. He's no longer around, but Charlie Trotter. Charlie Trotter let me bring some inner city kids. Yes, ma'am. Charlie Trotter let me bring some inner city kids to his restaurant years ago. I will never forget it as long as I live. He was the nicest man on the planet. Ernie Kachanis from McDonald's, Charlie Trotter, Rich Melman, all of these restaurateurs in right there in Chicago were very, very gracious in when I had my program in Chicago.
Wow, yes. Yeah, we do. We miss Charlie Trotter. We really do. I think I met him once, but I couldn't say I knew him. He was just very pleasant the one time that I did meet him. And, of course, the food was excellent. I really enjoyed that. I really did. But let me ask you a question, a little clarification. On the pending DVD, now, is that going to be an instructional type of DVD or what will be your main focus?
And the main focus will be on manners. On ever, it won't be so much kids in the kitchen, because I have a program called Young, Gifted, and Classy. Young, Gifted, and Classy, and that's just a basics. I don't go into the high T's and all that. I mean, I try to deal with the basics because I'm dealing with basic kids. And at some point, once they become debutantes and once they get off to college and so forth, they'll learn some of the other stuff and through exposure. But I want to get to the nitty gritty, to the raw of manners and just the basics. It's something about a kid that knows his manners. It's just something about a kid that knows how to say excuse me, thank you, and please. Just those three powerful words.
Exactly. Well, that would be interesting. And plus, it would be interesting once this happens, the marketing aspect of it. I'm sure, though, what you would do, or I'm sure it will automatically be a follow-up, is that when you do these different presentations at school, then you would be passing them out to the students? Is that how you, one phase of marketing?
Well, Casey, you happen to know that our convention, OBAP convention, is going to be in Chicago. And
let the audience know what OBAP is. OBAP is?
I'll let you tell them.
Yes. It's the Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals.
Professionals, so it's a black pilot.
And for the audience, it will be coming to Chicago in August. And it's just really another field of getting your children engaged and to realize the different fields in aviation. So it really is a wonderful thing. So stay tuned to the Fly Girl Show, because we will have, the closer we get to it, we will be having more information about it. And also, I believe, Carolyn, you're trying to get involved in that and have some type of a presentation.
I will be doing an empowerment program for kids. It's the youngest in class, the empowerment. And I use manners in that aspect to build self-esteem. Because I even have one course called Your Job is Waiting, the etiquette of a job interview, you know, how you approach a job interview, why your nails should be impeccable, why you should sit a certain way, if they take you to lunch for an interview, why you shouldn't order this or you should order that, or why you send a thank you note after the interview, even if you do it online. So those are some of the things for the older kids that I will talk about. But I use etiquette on so many different levels, depending on the group of kids that I'm dealing with, and in terms of where they are, And so then when I deal with the high echelon, the kids that are debutantes and parents that have taken them abroad and so forth, I learn from them actually. There's another level, but it all boils down to the basics. At the end of the day, if you know those basics, maybe it'll take you to the White House. It'll take you to the White House. It'll take you to Dubai. It'll take you to Paris. It'll take you to Switzerland. It'll take you all over the world.
You know, one thing I've noticed, and I, it's one of my pet peeves that I've noticed people in restaurants, they put their arms on the table. And we were taught you could not. You put your arms in your lap, but your elbows and your arms were never to be placed on the table while you were having dinner. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you mean where when you travel, where now, abroad?
What? No, no, no. In restaurants, when you watch people eat and they're having conversation, they will put their whole arm and lean, and they would eat with one arm on the table, and they would feed. That was the biggest no-no in the world,
but,
putting your arms on the table.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 but it's one of the, you know, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And sometimes you sit there and you just go like, oh, my goodness, you know, but you can't say anything because you can't be rude to the, and sometimes it might even be the host of maybe an event that you're going to. And it was so funny. I remember talking to some kids one time about the finger bowl. And I remember hearing this story about this dignitary who hosted this fabulous luncheon, and everybody was given a finger bowl. And for some reason, nobody knew what to do with it, right? So so you follow the lead. You don't pick up your utensils, you know, your napkin or whatever, until the host, he or she, is you follow their lead. So he picked up his napkin, placed it in his lap, and he took the finger bowl with both hands and drank it like a Chinese soup. And so did everybody else. And so the question was, okay, so first of all, the finger bowl is, of course, a bowl that you wash your fingers on with the lemon. Finger bowl with the lemon, you put the tips of your finger in it with the lemon and clean your hands. Well, someone said, if you're supposed to, first of all, let's just say I knew better. I knew that the finger bowl was not you don't drink the finger bowl. So do you not drink the finger bowl to offend this dignitary, or do you follow suit with him? What do you think the answer to that question is?
I think I would probably do as the dignitary had done, because you would not want to offend the host.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
Yes.
And that's something I didn't know, so I had to.
And those are the type of things that I think if you were to do, you said you were creating a small little book, but I think that there's simple things. You know, we like a quick fix, and the quick fix would also just be your say yes, no. And for young men, young black men, or young children, the highest, to me, sign of respect is looking an adult in the eye when you talk.
Yes.
And so if you have to give your child a quick little three things that you must do to represent me well and represent yourself well, is to answer the yes and the no. We had to say, mother did not request that we said yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, because people become very lazy and would go yes'em and no'em. And mother would say to us, no, if you just say yes or no, that was sufficient and showed very much signs of respect to your elderly. And so later on, flying for Delta is when I learned to be able to be more respectful to adults and say yes, sir, no, sir. But not you have to say sir and you have to say ma'am. You don't go you don't cut that down and shorten it, you know. But those are the different things that I think if you were to give your children just certain things that will carry them so far. And one of them, I believe, and you have to, you know, you tell me what you think, definitely making that eye contact when you are talking to someone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You don't look away. You look them directly in the eye. Exactly. You shake their hand, and a 30-minute handshake either. You shake that hand and you say, hi there, my name is, you know, XYZ. Yeah, you have to do it a certain way. Yeah. And, you know, that's just the culture of the world.
It is the culture of the world, and you're absolutely right, because that is. And that's another interesting thing that I'm sure when you're teaching these kids, these young adults, or even parents, when you're conducting your classes, I guess you bring in the different cultures to let them know and I think that is so interesting, because being that I was an international flight attendant for the last 10 years of my career, you have to know the different cultures of the countries to not offend anyone. And
correct.
Yeah. I don't know what country it is that one of the signs that's acceptable is the burp at the table to show that you enjoyed the meal. Do you know what country that stems from?
That's Europe. That is Europe. I learned that having dinner in Aberdeen in China, and this German guy I was dating, he let out this huge burp, and I almost fainted. Roar. I mean, it was like a lion's roar. Like, my God. And I found out that was totally acceptable, that you burp. The louder you burp, that was an indication to the chef that you enjoyed the meal. Like I say, you have to be in the room. Some things you just have to learn by being there, you know.
Yes.
So yes, I did. I learned that. That's in Europe. That's a European, custom. Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Something I can't stand is the hacking. And I think in some culture, I don't want to say which one yet, but there's a hack that they do that I think is disgusting, but it is part of the culture. And I ain't going to say which country, but I was like, oh, I don't like it. And blowing your nose at the table, I think you need to excuse yourself if it's really, really extreme. You know, when you have a situation like that, and you shouldn't blow it in the napkin that, you know, that you're using to eat from. You know, a lot of people do that. I see that a lot.
That's the one that really is the most appalling to me, is to see people, have people sit there and blow their nose in front of everyone, and in particular in that napkin. Oh, that is just the most disgusting thing ever, ever.
Yes.
I know.
And toothpick etiquette. Oh, let me tell you my toothpick etiquette. Girl, now you want to talk about the toothpick? Now you want to see me go crazy? I remember this guy pulled his toothpick out from his little top pocket at a banquet right there in Chicago. Girl, he sat there after eating that meal and must have picked his teeth like he was at the White House. I say, no, you didn't. Like he was at home. He used that toothpick at the table.
Oh,
so I talk about
me.
Toothpick, and then I've even seen people floss at the table. They get that floss.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
So, now, maybe not today. Maybe that was a few years ago. So basically, you know, some of these things are funny and extreme, but people, believe it or not, sometimes they just don't know. So, at some point, it's common sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I tell you, you are a necessary component to all of us, and I think we all need refresher courses, because we all get comfortable. I mean, I know that this putting your elbows on the table and leaning on the table, that's just because it's become so accepted because everybody else is doing it, but that doesn't make it right. And I'm so happy that you are still, this is your passion. I'm so happy this is your passion.
Is.
Yeah.
It is.
And so for the audience, once again, this is Carolyn Shelton. And will you give everyone your information once again for the audience so that they can get in contact, and also your website? Because do you have little tips on your website for them? Or how did
construct? I think I do have some. I had someone working with me on my, because I'm so bad at updating. So if there are no tips there, then they can just write me and I'll send them the etiquette booklet. But my website is younggiftedclassy.com, younggiftedclassy.com, and I think I'm on Facebook as well. And then my email is Angelina Gumbo, A-N-G-E-L-I-N-A, Gumbo 337 at AOL. And I don't mind them having my number, which is 504 513-1648. 504-813-1648.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you on today. And as I always like to say to my audience, I hope that you met someone interesting and learned something new. And I hope that the audience will definitely have taken notes. I hope that they will take advantage of your information and contact you. And my push and my advertisement for you is to encourage people to book you and to conduct these different seminars, because it is so needed. The adults need it, yes. The children need it. So I really, really have enjoyed having you on the show today, Carolyn.
Thank you so much.
We'll bring you back, because there's always a need and there's always a topic that I'm sure I can call on my friend and you will be a guest again on my show.
I'm ready. God willing, I am ready. Have a very happy holiday to all of your audience out there. And remember that manners cost absolutely nothing. It's free. You just have to know, you know, what to do. You just have to know and just remember the basics. Excuse me, thank you, and please.
Well,
try to be pleasant.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, because I tell you, it was very enlightening, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much, Carolyn, and we'll wish you a very pleasant day and happy holidays and happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Yes, and the same to you.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Well, I hope that everybody enjoyed the show today. I am, once again, this is Casey Grant, and the name of the show is The Sky Girl. I'm sorry. I don't even know the name of my own show. That's my book. The name of the show is The Fly Girl Show. And we introduced a very interesting guest today, and it was Carolyn Shelton. And to give you different ins and outs about etiquette and manners. And I hope that you will find the time to go on her website and contact her. Have her come in and conduct a seminar at one of your organizations. I think it would be it's a needed issue. So for all of those, please tune in next week, same time. It will be from 11 to 12 Central Time. And once again, this is the Fly Girl Show, and I am your host, Casey Grant. So until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Goodbye.